Chapter 34. Long before Rod had shown up in the plane, Joshua had been walking every day a little further. For most of the winter, he'd used crutches, branches brought in from the forest clumps by Sally or Patrick, and then shaped with his own knives. It had taken some work to get them to the right length, and to make them reasonably comfortable to use, he'd sacrificed one of his shirts to make cushions stuffed with moss to ride under his armpits. He'd also fire-hardened the flat tips of the crutches where they hit the ground, but even so, they wore rapidly. Still, every day, further. He would walk around the bluff and to the forest clumps and along the bank of the river, trying to restore the strength in his good leg, his arms, his back. His best recourse in the case of most threats remained just stepping away, which would put him out of range of all predators save humanoids such as elves. But, he'd figured, if he was ever going to attempt to step his way back to the more inhabited Earths, he was always going to need some mobility, just to escape from threats like floods and avoid geographical shifts like the rise of the Valhallan world's inland seas. Hence the crutches and the determined hiking. Then, of course, Rod had shown up. Now Joshua had decent crutches of Valhallan manufacture, fold-out lightweight affairs from the plane's medical stores, and he had a much easier way to get back home, in the plane, than by stepping out of here. But still he walked every day, building up his strength. After all, you never knew. He and Rod were a long way from home, and if the plane failed them, they might still need to rely on their own strength to survive. This particular day, Joshua was stumping along the bank of the river, idly listening to the wash of the troll's song, its casual beauty all around him as usual. This remained a dangerous world, and wherever he walked, he always carried a selection of weapons, his knives, his bronze handgun. And he tried to make sure he was in sight of plenty of trolls. Glancing around now, he saw Sally playing with Liz by the bluff, and some of the males further away, flickering as they stepped in and out of the world, maybe scouting out a hunt. There was old Sancho sitting cross-legged on top of the bluff, wearing Joshua's silver survival blanket like a cape. Joshua had to smile at the sight, a hairy Superman. Rod was visible in the middle distance, working on the plane. And then, as he worked his way down the riverbank, trying to stay clear of the clinging riverbank mud, which could swallow a foot or so of his crutches, Joshua saw young Matt, alone, crouched by the water, singing and idly drawing shapes in the mud with one forefinger. Nobody else was close to him. Nobody to come running if the worst happened, with a choice of options for worst. Which was odd. How had Matt got himself so isolated? Troll cubs had good instincts for that kind of thing. And, as Sally Lindsay had always said, if you didn't develop good instincts, you didn't last long out in the high megas. Something must have made Matt think he was still close enough to the others that the usual alarm bells hadn't sounded. Joshua reached Matt and stood there, breathing hard, his bad leg a dead weight. Swiveling on his crutches, Joshua searched the empty landscape nearby, the riverbank, the water. Save for the troll cub at his feet, he was alone. No other trolls in sight from here. Matt didn't even look up. He was just a troll by the river, playing in the mud, singing softly, joining in with the group's ongoing song, drawn into the music. The song. That was it. That was what didn't fit. The song was too damn loud. That was why Matt hadn't been alarmed. He'd been listening to the song and, consciously or not, he'd read its volume as signifying plenty of trolls close by. But they weren't. And if the trolls weren't singing the song he heard, who was? Or what? As if on cue, at that moment, the animal burst from the water, and all Joshua could see was teeth. The river beast was nothing like the gator-like river hunters Joshua had seen and studiously avoided before in this world. This was some kind of humanoid, in fact, a kind unfamiliar to Joshua, with a massive body, over-muscled and sleek with streamlined fur, and a mouth, yes, a mouth, that looked like it was full of alligator teeth. Joshua would never have believed that a thing like an otter on steroids could ever have evolved a way to sing so beautifully. But in retrospect, when Joshua had a chance to think it over, the development of this kind of predator was obvious. Predators evolved to attack the weaknesses of their prey, and one stratagem was to lie, to deceive the credulous. Thus carnivorous flowers lured insects into their lethal maws with colourful but mendacious promises of nectar. What characterised the trolls, above all, was their song. An individual troll was drawn into the song, was immersed in it, was distracted by it. The song was an expression of the identity of the group, within which an individual, especially a cub like Matt, felt as safe as he ever could be. So if you as a hopeful predator could mimic the song, you didn't need to capture the full richness of it. You didn't need to relate the history of every troll back to the primeval datum Earth savanna. You just needed to capture whatever essence of it entranced a young troll and caused him to lose that natural caution, to make him feel safe when in fact he was in lethal danger. Just a few heartbeats of distraction. That would be enough. For Joshua, time slowed to a crawl. Matt hadn't moved, even now, even as the singing killer raced up the beach at him, its mouth gaping blood red. An adult troll would just step away from such a danger, but juvenile trolls tended not to step if they were separated from their parents, for fear of getting lost. So Matt would keep on sitting there just long enough.
"Not on my watch, damn it."
Joshua threw aside his crutches and, even as he toppled, reached for his weapons with two free hands and hurled a hunting knife. He managed to lodge the blade in one big cold eye.
Yes!
Then he fired his electric handgun right into that gaping mouth, aiming for a dangling organ at the back of the throat that burst like a balloon, splashing blood. The beast turned its wounded head, roaring. And driven on by its own inertia, it came crashing to the ground, just missing Matt, who scrambled out of the way, and Joshua too, who fell and rolled aside. Thwarted, the beast wriggled on its belly and slid smoothly back into the water, trailing a stream of blood. Joshua struggled to sit up and looked for Matt. The cub was staring around, bewildered. They needed to get out of here. The beast had been injured, but hardly disabled, and Joshua had to expect its return any instant, with a grudge. But his crutches were out of his reach. Strong troll hands grabbed him under the armpits, and he was hauled away from the water. His bad leg clattered over the ground, and he howled in agony. But he saw that Patrick had picked up Matt and was hurrying away with him. The cub was safe. More of the adult trolls came running now, hurling boulders the size of Joshua's head into the river, yelling and beating their chests. The singing beast surfaced again, blood trailing from its mouth and a clear liquid dripping from its broken eye. It faced a bunch of angry, wary trolls. Even so, Joshua could see it tensing for another spring. The trolls gathered closer, their shouts ever more defiant. Then Rod came running through the group. Wearing his orange flight suit, evidently he'd come straight from the plane, he was yelling, and he brandished a kind of fat, bright red pistol.
"Rod! No! Get back!"
But Rod surely never heard his father, over the shouting of the trolls and the roar of the singer beast, and he wouldn't have obeyed him in any case. He ran past the trolls and right up to the singer, dwarfed by its bulk. He held up that pistol, now Joshua recognized it as a flare gun, and fired it at point-blank range into the singer's jaw. The result was spectacular. The flare burst inside the beast's huge mouth. The animal vomited smoke that was illuminated from behind by glaring orange light. The trolls scrambled back, as scared by the flare as by the singer. But the singer, though howling with pain, wasn't finished. Smoke still pouring from between its jaws, it bent down, effortlessly scooped up Rod like a doll in its small forelimbs, and vanished. Joshua, still calling for Rod, struggling to stand without his crutches, saw it all. It had stepped. Of course it had. It was a humanoid. Long Earth humanoids stepped. Now Joshua himself frantically stepped into the worlds to east and west, one step, two. He couldn't stand. He was sprawled on the ground, but he could step. Joshua Valiente had always been able to step. But there was no sign of them in the worlds next door, though a few trolls huddled there, having instinctively stepped away from trouble. No sign of the singer beast or of Rod. And though he called until he was hoarse and stepped over and over again, somehow Joshua knew that wherever Rod was, it was further, much further away than this. At last he returned to the troll's base world. As soon as he arrived back, Sally came running over, Matt's mother. Weeping, she wrapped her arms around Joshua's chest and held him close. His mouth full of black hair, he struggled against her, struggled to speak.
"You've got to help me. I lost Rod. I lost my son. You must help. Sancho! Get me Sancho!"